Well, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. My name's Peter, the Senior Minister of St Alfred's. It's a great privilege and pleasure to be with you here this morning as we look at God's Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this new year. Thank you for the gift of church, the gift of your Word, the gift of your Son, the gift of your Spirit. Please teach us now, inspire us, encourage us, so that we might live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a great psalm, isn't it? It expresses a deep-seated confidence in God. You'll see David say that in verse 3, I am confident, and right at the end in verse 13, I am still confident. So it expresses a deep-seated confidence in God's goodness and God's protection. It's a psalm of David, as you'll see if you have a Bible with you, but it's also a psalm for all of us, because although David's reflecting on some of the things that are particular to his history and his life, there are things in there for anybody who is trying to follow God. I want to draw attention to some of the bad news that's in the psalm first, which we shouldn't overlook, and then some of the good news. So first of all, the bad news. I said that this psalm expresses a deep-seated confidence in God, but it's not a naive confidence. It's a confidence that has been developed amid in the struggle and the hardship of real life. There are shadows and darknesses in this psalm that we shouldn't overlook. What do I mean by that? Well, if you have your Bible open, here's a list of some of the things that David alludes to in this psalm. He talks about fear in verse 1, evil people in verse 2. He has enemies in verses 2 and 6. He talks about war in verse 3, about trouble in verse 5, about being forsaken in verses 9 and 10, about oppressors in verse 11, about foes in verse 12, and about false witnesses breathing violence in verse 12 as well. So that's real life. That's David's experience of life. And his confidence in God is all the more admirable because he's experienced all these hardships. He knows what it's like to be afraid. He knows what it's like to feel oppressed. He knows what it's like to feel alone or to have your reputation slandered. The struggles and fears that David faces are examples of what we will all face, whether we're Christian or not. It might not be the same specifics as David, but there'll be versions of these sorts of things. Now, we would wish it otherwise, but life is difficult. Life throws up difficulties for us. And the Christian faith cannot be disconnected from the world we live in. Faith is not something that exists in some sort of safe, abstract place. It's not as if you can come into church and divorce yourself from what waits for you outside church. No, real biblical faith is developed in the grit and the strife of what happens every single day of your lives. Now, this is the first Sunday of a new year, so just pause for a moment and think back on the last year. And I suspect if you think, you'll find many personal struggles and worries that you've had during this past year. And if you haven't, and life has been really good to you, then think about the wider world for a moment. As far as I can see, there's been no reduction in war or trauma or illness or poverty. The global economy still is fragile. People are worried about their jobs. The cost of housing still seems to be out of the reach of many young people. It's worrying when planes can just fall out of the sky, when a young man can go out and play cricket and end up dead, when children are killed by their own mother. The day of trouble that David mentions in verse 5 could be any day, couldn't it? It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Even Jesus says, you don't need to worry about tomorrow's troubles because each day has enough troubles of their own. And that's what life is like. And you don't need me to tell you this. This is our human lot. So it's in the midst of all this bad news that our confidence in God is developed and tested. And that's the good news. So let's turn from that sort of bad news, the shadows, the darknesses that are in this psalm, and turn to the good news of this psalm. You see, for people of faith, the good news is that we don't go through these struggles on our own. We can face the coming year knowing that, like that footsteps poem and poster that many of people will have, or like the words of the second song we had, that God goes with us through the year and often carries us through life. And that's why the first half of this psalm is full of praise. God is very real to David, and he praises God for both his presence in his life and his protection. So first of all, the good news is that the Lord gives us confidence. Verses 1 to 3, the Lord gives us confidence. In the first three verses, David shows us how faith in God allows people to face their fears with an unshakable confidence because, he says, verse 1, God is my light. Not just a light in a general sense, but God is my light. You know, when you go into a dark room and you're not quite sure where the furniture is and whether you can cross the room safely without banging your knee or something, when you turn the light on, all that danger is removed and you know where the furniture is and you're not at risk of tripping up over the carpet. Light gives direction and certainty. And in the Bible also, light is symbolic of revelation, of understanding, of knowledge and wisdom. So when God is my light, I can see clearly what life involves and I can face my fears. Now that's an extraordinary statement, isn't it? If I am honest, I'm not sure I always have this level of confidence. I'm not sure I always face life with this amount of fearlessness. What allows David to be so confident? Well, not only does he describe God as my light in verse 1, but also my salvation and the stronghold of my life. God has been so good to David, so real in his life, that although at times he's faced enemies, he's had wars, armies besieging him, wanting to destroy him, yet he knows he's secure in God and need fear no one. Now that's an extraordinary confidence in God. If you are a Christian, you need fear nobody. Fear of people bedevils most human beings. Just think about it for a moment. If you're a worker, fear of failing the boss, fear of looking incompetent in front of work colleagues, fear of not keeping up with peers. If you're a member of a family, fear of upsetting somebody, fear of letting somebody down. We've all just gone through the trauma of buying Christmas presents, fear of getting it wrong. Anyone who has someone in authority over them, which is most of us, that often generates fear, fear of people with authority over us. So rather than live with these fears, let's take David's words here and pray them into our hearts. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And what's his answer? Nobody. There is nobody I need fear because the Lord is my light and my salvation. So the good news is that God gives us confidence to face these fears. Secondly, the good news is that the Lord keeps us safe. Verses 4 to 6. David here then continues the theme of God's protection, but his thinking shows a remarkable change in these next couple of verses. He says here that his one desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of his life and there to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, verse 5, and it's there that he will be safe in the day of trouble. Now, is David saying when he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord that he wants to retreat from the military and political hurly-burly of being king and be a priest in the church? I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. Does that mean he wants to come away from the real life he's been in to somewhere safe inside the house of the Lord? I think that would conflict with the first three verses which we've just read, where we see him exercising his faith in the battlefield, where wicked men attack him and armies are besieging him. No, I don't think what he's saying here is he wants to be a priest. I think what he's trying to say here is that I have a deep desire to know God's presence in my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. It's God's presence that protects him. And if you look at verses 5 and 6, it's God's presence in his life that will fill his heart with joy and allow him then to sing songs of praise. David doesn't just want God to do something for him, that is, keep him safe. David wants to experience God, to have God real in his life, to have this real personal relationship. He uses language from the Old Testament to describe this, like dwelling in the house of the Lord, or seeking him in his temple, or being in the shelter of his tabernacle, all allusions to the Old Testament ways of worshipping. But what his one desire is to know God's presence, to have this relationship with God, because that's what will fill his heart with joy and allow him then to face life's struggles. Now, let's just reflect on that for a moment. Here you have a national leader, a political leader, a military leader, a man who has enough on his shoulders every single day to ensure that he won't sleep all that well every night. He will go to bed with the whole cares of the country in his mind. And yet what he wants is not the solution to all his problems, but what he wants is God's presence. The one thing I desire is to be in the house of the Lord, to be in God's presence. Now, I know many of people at St. Alfred's are busy. Many of you have weighty responsibilities. Many of you carry heavy burdens. I know many of you probably don't sleep all that well every single night. And I can't say too strongly that you must not let all these worldly troubles rob you of a personal relationship with God. If you try and carry all the load by yourself, you will go through life bitter and you won't sleep very well. So it's not only that God will help you with the things that trouble you, but as David says, knowing God's presence, regardless of what is happening in life, will fill your heart with joy. Maintaining a real relationship with God, a prayer life, a life of fellowship with other Christians, involvement in your local church, if it's not this one, a life of reading God's word and filling your mind with God's truths, all of this feeds your soul and strengthens your spirit. And if that has been a problem for you in the past, then a new year is a good time to try and address that and to seek after God afresh. And so let Psalm 27 be a stimulus for you and an encouragement and a role model for you. So the good news is that God gives us confidence and God keeps us safe. Now the tone of the psalm changes and we leave this confidence and joy and we turn to overhear a prayer of David. And the good news here in this prayer is that the Lord will never reject us, verses 7 to 12. Look at verse 7, how it changes. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. The confidence of the earlier section is here replaced by a humility, even a tentativeness. Ever since David has faced Goliath when he was a young boy, and then all through his life, he has lived with danger. And I think because he's lived with danger, he knows something experientially that I think we're at risk of forgetting because we're so self-reliant, and that is, we actually need God. If God turns me away, I'm lost. David knows that. He's lived that out. So he continues to pray, verses 9 and 10. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, God my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Where's his earlier confidence gone? How could he say earlier with such confidence, God is my light, God is my stronghold. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe. And now here, be praying, God, don't turn me away. God, don't forsake me. Now, I think this again is the reality of faith. God is not a God to be taken for granted. David can't command God to protect him, nor presume that God will protect him. It's not that God is capricious. It's just that God is God and we're not. Even though we know he has helped us in the past, we still need to humbly pray for his help today. We cannot presume that God will answer our prayers the way we want him to today, so we come humbly bringing our needs before God every day. Let me give you an example of this from the life of the church. I know that God has been very good to us here at St. Alfred's. Over the last decade, 15 years or so, we've seen the church here grow and change a lot. We've gone through three strategic planning processes in that time, each of which has then led to us beginning new ministries and changing the direction of things. Moderately, you know, we haven't chopped and changed, but we've just adjusted things. Over that time, we've built a great staff team. We've built these new buildings and paid them off. We've had lots of new people come and join us, and many come into leadership positions at the church. As we've done that, we've faced many risks. We've faced many challenges. And I can tell you that none of what appears now as St. Alfred's would have occurred without serious and ongoing prayer. So God has been good to us, and like David, I am confident that God has directed us and has protected us. But I also know that I, as your senior leader, cannot take that for granted. As we begin this new year, we will be continuing to pray for God's protection and direction. So on the one hand, we praise God confidently for his kindnesses to us, and yet on the other hand, we pray humbly for God's ongoing kindness to us. So on the one hand, we can be as confident as David in verses 1 to 6, and on the other, as humble in our prayers as David is here in these verses. And you too need to do this personally. You too need to come and seek God's direction for your lives. God has been very good to all of you, but you cannot take that for granted. Do not become arrogant or self-reliant. Or don't become what the philosophers call deist, just knowing God's up there but forgetting that he's up there, wherever up there is, and not actually engaging with God, treating God as some sort of distant relation that you don't talk to at all. Don't do that either. You can't take God's past blessings for granted. So if you're not a believer yet, this year would be a good time to acknowledge God's goodness to you and humbly seek his leading for your life. That might be an intention, a New Year's resolution, an unusual one, to actually seek God this year, to humbly come and seek God for your life. The last area comes back to the beginning, that the good news is the Lord gives us confidence in verses 13 and 14. At the end, David reaffirms his goodness, his confidence in God's goodness. Look at verse 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So he's confident about God's goodness. But he knows, and we know, as the next verse shows, that God's timetable is not always the same as ours. God may answer your prayers today in the way you want, but he may also require you to wait patiently with faith. And so the last line is a great exhortation to maintain your faith and trust in the Lord despite what happens. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Even in this last line, the reality of Christian faith is implied. You wouldn't need an exhortation like that if life wasn't difficult. Waiting for the Lord is not a passive activity. It requires courage and strength. Why? Because life involves all these hardships and darknesses and shadows that I have alluded to. Life is full of those struggles, and it requires courage and strength to wait for God to guide you in the midst of whatever you're facing. Now, none of us knows what this coming year holds. None of us knows what today holds. I was driving home yesterday and could see the fire in Hastings. You don't know what waits you every day, do you? Undoubtedly, there will be some struggles. Some of those shadows that are in this psalm, well, how will you face them? Will you seek after God like David does here? Because this psalm is a great encouragement to replace your fears with faith and to face your battles knowing that God will never forsake you. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Seek after him. The good news is that the Lord is our light and our salvation, whatever this year holds. May God bless you as you seek after him with all your heart. Amen.